everybody, and welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Ji Soo Kee. Thanks so much for being with us and staying with WGN Radio throughout your day. Our very first show of 2020. We've got a lot to discuss. We're going to have the editor at large from CNET talking about the big tech show bonanza that happens in Las Vegas, CES, talking about cell phones and what to expect in 2020, all the innovations there, and also the price tag on some of these phones. It's going to go even higher. Unbelievable. We're also going to have Terry Savage later on in the show to talk about year-end changes. There was a new Congress included a significant revision of the rules that apply to company 401k plans and individual retirement accounts. So she's going to have all that info on the provisions of the Secure Act. So that is something you definitely want to stay in tune for. So let's get started. We have Ian Scher with us, editor at large for CNET on the phone. Happy New Year, Ian.
Happy New Year. How are you doing?
Very good. Are you all moved in? Everything is settled finally?
We've moved across the country, so I'm currently in D.C. I moved from San Francisco, and we are, I'd say, halfway there. I'm feeling optimistic. The exhaustion hasn't set in fully yet, so I'm hopeful.
And, of course, it's a lot of fun when you move with a baby.
Yes, a baby and a 3.5-year-old. I recommend everyone try it at least once. It's quite a harrowing experience.
Even better. Okay, so let's get started. We have so much to talk about, a lot about security and security breaches. Of course, we've been hearing a lot about these security cameras and the data breaches around that. And then, of course, you can talk about TikTok as well. So a lot under the security umbrella.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is that in the last year, for example, we're still getting some data about 2019, and probably one of the worst data points we found out was that the hacking that has happened in 2019 really started getting bad towards small businesses and different cities. So we found 70 cities were hacked with what's called ransomware, which is where they take over the computer and then they say, in order for you to get back access to the data, you have to pay us so much money and blah, blah, blah. And of course, these are bad guys. So if you give them the money, they may not even give you the money as the data back. They may just ask you for more money. So it's been a real problem. And we're starting to see this happen more and more versus hacks to steal data or stuff, because that data often is useless to the hackers, right? They want money. And mm-hmm. So they're finding that if they take over our computers and then insist we give them money, that a lot of people do give it to them, which is why they continue doing it.
Well, this is really a hostage type situation.
Yeah, and the thing is, it doesn't look like it's going to get better very soon. And the reason actually is really frustrating. So a lot of these hacks are using a technology that supposedly came from the CIA that was leaked a couple of years ago. And even though Microsoft and everyone else came out with fixes for the software to make sure that these hacks wouldn't be useful, that came from the CIA, supposedly, it turns out that a lot of state governments, a lot of city governments, a lot of small businesses, they don't have a lot of professional IT people who are really on top of it. And so a lot of these hacks are actually attacking computers that could be safe, but they're not keeping their software up to date. So my point in all this, if you're listening, make sure your software is up to date, because that seems to be the number one thing that all these hackers are exploiting right now, is just finding people with out-of-date software that they can then hack.
So, Ian, you're saying don't ignore the little pop-up when it says update your software?
No, you can groan all you want, but you should never ignore it. So make sure that you click the OK. You know, a lot of people, they don't like to do it because it'll interrupt their day. So write down a little post-it note, put it on your screen, and remind yourself when you walk out the door that you press the update button, because it's going to save you one day. The average loss of data is every 2 years. People have a major loss of data. If you are going more than 2 years, you are playing with fire. You want to make sure that you're safe.
So a lot of homeowners have security cameras to ensure that their homes are safe. But a lot of folks aren't making sure that their Wi-Fi security is strong enough. Is that the crux of the situation of these Wyze security cameras and that data breach?
So there was a data breach that happened with Wyze. And we've been hearing more and more about these breaches lately. Ring dealt with a bunch of these. There was one thing over the holidays where apparently some hackers started talking to children where the Ring camera was in someone's home, and they started talking to them
super
and saying they
creepy.
Were Santa Claus and telling them to do it. Really creepy. It's not okay. So what it turned out is that with the Ring cameras, that was not a hack at all. It turned out that these hackers said, whenever our information gets stolen, right? A lot of everyone has had their email and password stolen in some website at this point, right? Whether it's Adobe
yes.
or Equifax or whatever. So what happens is when hackers get that information, the first thing they do is they try that username and password on every website they can find. They try it on PayPal. They try it at your bank. They try it on Facebook because if a lot of people use the same password wherever they go. And if they can get in, they could maybe steal money or in this case, try to threaten you or whatever and have fun. So with Ring, they actually weren't hacking in. They were just using your username and passwords that were left over from other hacks of Adobe or whatever. And they were just testing it on ring.com and bada bing, they were able to get in. With Wise, it was actually a hack of people's information. It's one of the worst ones, right? Where your username is out there, your password, not your password, but your Wi-Fi name is out there. But they say that no other personal information was taken. They've promised that this stuff will be protected. Obviously, a home camera company has to be like one of the most secure out there. So I'll be curious to see how they respond going forward.
Wow. So, it's the simple things in life. Update your software and make sure that you're putting some thought behind all of your passwords and changing them up regularly.
Use a different,
yeah.
Right. Try to use a different password wherever you go. And look, I know that's an annoying thing for
it
anyone
is.
To hear. So one of the other thing you can do is called two-factor authentication. You may never have heard of it, but we have instructions on CNET, of course. What it does is it's like your bank a lot of times now will send you a temporary password by text message whenever you try to log in. Well, you can enable that for all sorts of stuff, for Gmail, for Facebook, for Ring, for Wise, for all these people. So if you set that up, even if the hackers have your username and password, they're much less capable of getting into your account, and they'll probably just move on to the next person because it's too hard. That's what I do with all of my stuff. I highly recommend it. That way, if you're not listening to me and you use the same password everywhere, at least you have some protection.
Well, Ian, we're going to talk a little bit more about network security and data breaches, and then we're going to talk about CES 2020 and then cell phones as well. So you want to stay with WGN Radio. Let's continue our conversation and finish up our discussion on security and data breaches with Editor-at-Large for CNET, Ian Schur. Ian, so tell us really quickly about TikTok and some news about hackers in North Korea as well.
Yeah, so with TikTok, you may have heard that this app is going bananas.
Mm-hmm.
It is really popular with the under 20 set. And one of the really interesting things about it is that it is not a social network that's based in Los Angeles like Snapchat or in San Francisco Bay Area like Facebook and Instagram. This is based in China. And because it's based in China, there are a lot of concerns coming out, particularly from the government, about whether or not this could be a security threat. Because a lot of these apps, as you may or may not know, are tracking your location. They know a lot of information about you. Sometimes they ask you to give them your name and all sorts of other stuff. And if the Chinese government is involved, that's a little worrisome. So we've seen now the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Army, and a number of other organizations within the government basically say that the app is banned for their employees and, people who are in the military on their phones. And that's something that says something about the government's concerns, but it also says something about whether or not there's something more going on. We're hearing this increasingly happen. It's a really interesting issue. And TikTok itself, by the way, is aware of people's perceptions about it. We've written on CNET, they're actually trying to find a headquarters outside of China so that people won't look at them as this scary boogeyman, instead see them as a wholesome internet company. We'll see whether that ever happens. But it says something about the fact that they realize that there is a concern that the Chinese government, which is known for its repressive action, particularly against free expression issues, might get involved and really worries people.
Ian, this reminds me of the popular Face app that was aging folks. And wasn't that also Chinese? And they were recording people's faces and recreating images?
So absolutely. So I forget what the name of the, I think it was MyFace or whatever. But you are absolutely correct. There was a thing that went around last year where people were aging their faces. It started with a couple of celebrities and then went just all over the internet. And one of the things people start pointing out immediately is, hey, all you people are downloading this app. You have no idea who made it. You're giving them access to all of your photos. And again, it has access to your location. What if this is being used for something nefarious? Why aren't you thinking about these things? And I think that's a larger question that we're going to be dealing with over the next couple of years, is that people, for the most part, have just trusted they can download anything to their phone and it's relatively safe. That's not the case. And I think people really need to start thinking about, can I trust the company I'm doing business with? Because not all the time can you really trust them.
Absolutely. And just really quickly, bring us up to date. There was a shutdown on hackers from North Korea.
Yeah, so Microsoft actually is one of the biggest anti-hacking groups in the world, which would make sense. It's one of the largest companies in the world. And they've been increasingly going after hackers, which as someone who lived through the early 2000s and Microsoft really struggling to deal with hacking, I appreciate seeing them do this. So the most recent example is that they went after this group of companies that is hackers, really, that are in North Korea. And what they did is that they would send out these emails that look like they're Microsoft emails, of course, and they would try to convince people to click through and give them their login information. Doesn't this sound familiar? And what happens is that Microsoft was able to take down the whole network, they said. They took over 50 what are called domains. They're basically parts of the internet, and were able to stop them, at least in this case. This is not the first time they've gone after them. They've gone after hacking groups in China, Russia, and Iran, and I'm sure we'll see more about this. But North Korea is a actually surprisingly very formidable hacking country, and they've used it a lot. You may remember they hacked into Sony's computers when that movie The Interview was coming out a few years ago. So this is not surprising seeing Microsoft do this.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Everyone's excited about CES 2020. First, explain what this fantastic tech show is all about, and it happens in Las Vegas, and what should we be looking forward to as consumers?
Yeah, so this is the nerdiest nerd event of the nerd season. So what it is that it is 170,000 people from around the world descend on Las Vegas. It's the second largest event that ever happens in Las Vegas. And what it is it's the largest tech show in the world. People come in, they get to show all sorts of stuff. We saw a lot of tablets. We've seen a lot of weird stuff, like a folding, literally a robot that will fold your clothes. I would like one, but not for the tens of thousands of dollars they were asking. There's all sorts of really weird stuff there. And, of course, we at CNET love to go because there's all sorts of robots and fun stuff to look at. But one of the really interesting things this year is that the tech industry is really trying to figure out what's next, right? The phone was huge. Now the phone is pretty, everyone has one that wants one. So what do we do next? There's a lot of the cameras that people are installing in their homes, but only so many people are willing to do that. So one of the big technologies we're going to hear about this year is actually around this technology called 5G. You may have heard about it.
Yes.
It's wireless technology. It's not just another G. It's supposed to be a lot faster, much more reliable. Last year's rollout was not very good. It was a little bumpy. This year, we're going to see a lot more phones that are supporting 5G. And by the end of the year, you may not be able to buy a non-5G phone. Maybe a couple, but there won't be a lot of them. And the industry is really going to try and push forward with this, which means that as they do this with the new technology, your prices are probably going to go up. That's annoying, but they say it'll be worth it. It's going to be up to them to convince us.
So it seems now that foldable phones is something that everyone is wanting. How does it fold? What's so cool about it?
I don't know if everyone wants one. I like the idea of it, but I'm not there yet. So the idea of a folding phone is actually like straight out of sci-fi, right? Imagine having these massive phones that you're able to fold up into a little square and just pop in your pocket. It's really cool. And in fact, if you look on CNET, we got a really great video of Motorola has a phone called the Razr. It's actually an upgrade from the one from 10 years ago.
I used to have that Razr.
Right? And so what happened is it's an upgrade to that one. Instead of folding, you know, and you had the keypad, now it's one big phone that folds in half. It's really cool. Samsung has one that's called the Galaxy Fold. It's actually a tablet that folds into the size of a big phone. And all this is supposed to be kind of the nirvana of the next generation of computing, right? Imagine being able to carry around these big screens, but they don't take up too much room in your pocket. That's really cool. But right now, it's not really reliable yet. The kids, they're still working out the kinks with the screens. You may remember that Samsung, before they launched their Fold earlier last year, they had a bunch of them cracking on the reviewers literally a week before they were putting them out. That was embarrassing. It took them 6 months to fix it. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked out, but you're going to see a lot of talk about folding phones in the next week. And by the way, not just folding phones, folding TVs too. There's a rolling TV that's like it rolls up like a poster board, and you could hide it from your home, and then when you want to watch, you just unroll it like a poster board. It's super cool. But those things are what we're going to see more and more of.
Wow, a rolled up television? So then that way I can tuck it away when I have company?
We've got video on CNET. Go watch it. It is the weirdest yet coolest thing I've ever seen.
Wow, a flexible screen. Okay, how much fancier can the photography function on our mobile phones get? And is that going to actually really get better? And is it worth the extra cost in 2020?
So the last question, I'm not sure, but the first two I can explain. I'm not sure if it's worth it, but what's happening is that there is increasingly that the camera industry obviously realizes that all of us are using our phones these days, right? That some of the best photographers I've known, Pulitzer Prize winners, they all tell me, look, the best camera is the one you've got on you, right? And a lot of them use their phones now to take photos. They still use big ones for their work, but at home they use the phones. And it's because these phones have gotten such good cameras. You know, the Apple you may have seen has this advertising campaign where they put up a phone and cameras, the pictures from people who have been taking pictures with their iPhones and all that type of stuff. We're going to see even more of this stuff. We're going to see more cameras in the phones. My iPhone 11 Pro has three cameras in it. Expect to start seeing four and five and even more. We're going to see much higher quality images. And it's something that's just really getting popular because it's the technology's getting to a point where they can, and you and I have shown them by buying it all the time that we want it.
And phones will also get faster in terms of refreshing and downloading data, and also in terms of charging. And that's something I think that's super important. Usually we have to carry around the extra batteries, and then the phone doesn't charge fast enough. So those are two innovations that I think consumers will be excited about.
I agree with you. And the fast charging is really interesting because I wrote on CNET a while back about why the battery industry hasn't really advanced very far for the last 15 years. The story's called Why Does My Battery Suck? I recommend you read it. I go into even the chemistry of why. But the bottom line is that we have to rely on everyone else to come up with better stuff because the batteries aren't going to get better. So that means better charging technology, faster charging technology, phones that don't take as much power to use, all that type of stuff is what the future has to be because it's going to be a long time before we get a better battery. So that's why you're going to hear a lot more about this fast charging technology. It's really going to be the future of how our devices work because nothing else is going to fix this problem.
And then just to finish up really quickly, can you touch on whether or not there's going to be more discussion and introspection on the scandals and investigations and all of the criticism around Silicon Valley right now?
Well, hopefully, but it probably won't happen during the Consumer Electronics Show. So in the next week, I doubt we're going to hear anyone say, oh, it's so sad. Everyone's angry at us. They're going to try and ignore everything and think that nothing happened. It's just like it happens every year. All the criticism of the tech industry goes wide by the wayside, and we just see all this hype about technology. But I am interested to see if this year might be different. And one reason in particular, Ivanka Trump, the presidential advisor and the daughter of the president, is going to be speaking this year in Vegas during the show. And I think we don't know what she's going to talk about, but I think her presence there and the conversation that she will stir may cause some conversation around where is the tech industry going? What has it been doing? What does regulation look like? How has the tech industry acted in the last few years? And what should we do about it? And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. That's going to be next week, but it should be a really interesting talk that she gives.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you as you're there and when you get done with the entire convention as well and sort of get time to digest it. And I want to get your perspective on that for sure. But you can read.
Absolutely.
Yep. You can read all the articles that you mentioned on CNET.com, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Ian Schur, editor-at-large for CNET. So appreciate you being with us and hope you're having a great start to the new year. Wintrust to Business Lunch. I'm Jisoo Yi. Amy Guth, host of the Daily Gist for Crane Chicago, will be joining us. She's going to be talking about day one of legal weed sales. Also going to be talking about some changes in healthcare laws you should know about. Also some parking meter changes. Jasmine, how long has it been since you've had a parking ticket?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, because I forgot the registration. So they don't send the registration reminders in the mail no more. They send you in the email.
Okay.
So I never got that email. So when I went out to my car, I had a ticket and I'm like, why? It's because I forgot.
Oh, so that's your excuse. You didn't get the email. It went to the junk mail folder.
Right.
And of course, a story that she's been following all of 2019, more Boeing leadership changes as well. And she is going to be with us shortly. So, in fact, John Williams throughout the morning was talking about legal weed sales and his adventures. I think he was outside of a store yesterday talking with people as they left purchasing legal weed. So we're going to have that and a whole lot more coming up. Also coming up, we're going to have Terry Savage. Of course, we know that her as a nationally recognized expert on personal finance, the economy and markets, and her columns are syndicated by the Tribune Content Agency. Her website is terrysavage.com, and she's going to be talking about Secure Act that was just passed by Congress. And there's a lot of significant revisions in the rules that apply to company 401k plans and individual retirement accounts. So that's coming up after the break. But right now, we're going to be talking with Amy Guth. Happy New Year, Amy.
Happy New Year to you.
Welcome back. I know that you took a little bit of time off.
Well, the Crane's newsroom is closed down during the holidays. So what I did was I did some year-end podcasts, as we talked about, and talked with some of the podcast regulars about before they went away for break, and talked with them about kind of what were the big stories that stand out to you about 2019 and what are you going to be looking at in the year ahead. So
you deserved a little break.
Thanks.
Come on. Oh, you're always working. Okay. So let's talk about, I know we've been talking about it all morning, but give us your take on day one of legal weed sales in, you know. Here in the state.
And in
Chicago.
I don't have a take, but John Pletz sure does. He is the, he's a reporter at Crane's. He covers, airports. He covers technology. He's also, he has been covering the cannabis industry since day one. And yesterday he was, I was watching him on Twitter. He was outside. It was so cold yesterday, but he was outside talking to people in line from the jump. I mean, people started lining up in the wee hours of the morning shortly after ringing in the new year. And, you know, he talked to a lot of people about how they feel about it, what the price difference is of when they perhaps were not buying it so legally, and like what it means to them to be able to buy it legally. So we take a look at that today on the podcast. But of course, it's Thursday. So I talked with Dennis Rodkin about some home data and home market data that's it's always a little we always do our own thing, right? Mm-hmm. The only city really not performing, or I should say performing less than us, is San Francisco, because they ramped up so dramatically and then kind of had to pump the brakes. So I talked with Dennis Rodkin about that and about a really cool building in nearby. It's nearby here. It's just like in an adjacent suburb, but it used to be the Women's Club, and then it became a house, and now it's like having this fantastically bizarre voyage. So we talk about that house a little bit. He may have mentioned that.
He certainly did. We were lucky enough to have him in during the holiday week.
Yes.
And he did mention that house. Fascinating. To go back to the day one of legal weed and Crane's coverage of the sales, when you were talking about people getting up so early to line up in the cold.
Oh, some of them 3:30 in the morning.
Right. But so many of them, when I would hear their interview, would say, well, this is a historic occasion. So it was very important for me to be part of history and be out here buying it on the first day that it's actually legal.
Yeah, some people really felt like it was important to them to do that.
Right. That part was fascinating to me.
I mean, and kudos to John Pletz. He was out there all day. I was like, this guy is working so hard, talking with so many people. But people had a lot of feelings about it. You know, we're only the 11th state to legalize marijuana for recreational purposes. So it is interesting. But with that, and this is another thing that I took a look at today on the podcast, there's a lot of changes that also either went into effect yesterday or will in the next week. One of those is we're going to see some changes to parking meters of how much we're paying.
Always so important to everybody that drives.
That's right. So we're going to see a lot. Also, ride sharing. We're going to see between certain hours, if you're going into the Loop area, you're going to see a $3 addition to that. for Lyft and Uber. And that's
so this is for the congestion.
That's right. That's a congestion tax. Say that three times fast. We're going to see that. There were also a lot of changes to healthcare in the state. Some of them are very interesting. A lot of them are impacting women. So there's now one of them is, for example, if you have a physician ordered second mammogram, maybe something looked off in the first one, they've asked you to get a second one, that has to be covered. That's not always the case. So that's got to be covered.
Oh, that's fascinating. I just got my very first one.
Oh, it's a joy, isn't it?
It's people try to describe it to you.
There's no way to describe
awkward.
It. It's a real awkward to describe.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my results. But so you're saying that if I'm a second one is ordered, some
that's
insurances
right.
don't cover that.
Well, especially in cases of like dense breast tissue, that's where you're often like, well, you need a digital one now. And sometimes that wasn't covered depending on your insurance plan. Now it is. Around the topics of pregnancy and birth, now women have the right to receive care during pregnancy and after childbirth, during birth. Also, the right to choose a midwife as their maternal health care professional, I think that's a really interesting one. I saw a lot of people talking about that one online.
That's absolutely fascinating. I do have several friends who wanted to have a home birth, and that was essential in having a home birth.
And that is another thing. You also now have the right to choose the birth setting. I hope nobody gets weird with that and says, I really want to, you know, give birth in some strange place. But yeah.
I never thought about that. I just figured it would be the hospital or your home. But
that's
I
right.
guess you could get really creative if you wanted to.
I guess if that's something you feel like you need to do, Godspeed. Have at it, lady. Go for it. So I think that's really interesting. Also, certain psychiatric nurses now have the ability to declare, you know, this patient needs to be involuntarily committed or restrained or secluded or something like that.
Really?
Which will be interesting to see kind of how that plays out, because sometimes there are moments where someone needs care for their own safety and you've got to wait for a doctor and a judge and all that. But now to give nurse practitioners that, that ability and that authority, that's pretty interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, I try to summarize it pretty well, but, you know, there's so much that as of January 1st kind of kicks in, and then at January 6th, kind of the next wave of it kicks in. That's so interesting. So it goes, we've been looking so much at just the cannabis part that there's so much other stuff.
Now, of course, a story you've been following for a long time, just really quickly, can you give us an update on the Boeing leadership change?
Yeah, this was kind of a quiet under the radar one, but so the general counsel who was assigned to help advise Dennis Muilenburg and the board during the 737 MAX crisis, which is now stretched into its, ninth month. And so Dennis Muilenburg, he was ousted as CEO just before the end of the year. 3 days later, this general counsel also, it was announced that he would be retiring at the end of the year. So lots of leadership turmoil at Boeing. It continues. I mean, we still have a long way to go to see Boeing, you know, turn the ship around, as it were, but lots to do. And I think a lot to restore public safety. This is going to be a really, once this is some years have passed, right? I think this will be a really interesting story to just kind of watch as a case study. And I say that not to diminish that there were 346 fatalities as a result of this story, but just to, as a leadership case of this is what happened. This is how this story went. And maybe this is how they turned their story around and recovered public trust. I don't know. It all remains to be seen.
Well, we appreciate that you'll be watching the story. A host of the Crane's Daily Gist, Amy Guth. Wonderful to have you back in studio.
Thank you so much
for being with us. Terry Savage, expert on personal finance, the economy, and the markets. And of course, her columns are syndicated nationally by Tribune Content Agency. Happy New Year, Terry.
Happy New Year, G. What a great way to get started in terms of the markets, that is.
Absolutely. And we're so excited to have you with us. I know that you've got a lot of news, especially with Congress has revised significantly the rules that apply to company 401k plans and IRAs, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, but first let's just stop and take stock for 1 minute. I know you've been talking about the markets all day, but let's just underline three important numbers. For 2019, the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index was up 28.9% in 1 year. It has done that before. It was up over 29% in 2013. The Dow was up to over 22%, and the NASDAQ up more than 35%. So we're talking about a third for the broad market averages. Now, just put that in historical context. The average annual return of the S&P over the last 70 years, including dividends, has been about 10.1%. So Ladies and gentlemen, we have just finished one of the most extraordinary years in stock market history, fed by easy money, fed by good economic news, and more people working, and lower taxes, and whatever you may think about politics, market money moves markets. So that was last year, and the big question is, could it possibly do it again? I have no answer to that question, by the way, so please don't ask.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us exactly what's going to happen in 2020.
No. I just, you know, I'm holding my breath. As befits my stage in life, I've become a little more conservative. I have consistently said, you know, if you're younger, just keep putting that money in your 401k every month. Companies matching it. Markets reflect America's future. For those who are thinking, one day I'm going to have just this X amount of dollars and have to make it last as long as I do. I can continue to advise, okay, have some chicken money on the sidelines. That was costly this past year, but I slept well.
Well, good. I think it's always good to be cautious, and it seems like you're always giving good advice.
So now your 401k, you know, this is really interesting. This is a moment. This is the perfect 2 days here, today and tomorrow. I know you're not working, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to the radio right now, everybody, right? This is the perfect time to take a look at what's in your 401k plan. You don't have to wait till your statement comes mid-month. You can look online. Everybody does. And think about the fact that you've gained maybe 30% just if you have the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index fund. Do you want to do something a little more conservative for the year ahead, or are you just going to let that money roll? This is the time to make those decisions. It's also the time to say to your boss, now there are higher contribution limits, so could you take more money out? I haven't missed it. I lived without it. Take more money out of my paycheck and put it into the 401k plan.
Okay, so you have a recent article out on your website, terrysavage.com, and that's Terry with a Y, TerrySavage.com, about these new changes that Congress passed.
Yeah, just at the last minute, continuing funding for the government, they added something called the Secure Act. The Secure Act makes it a lot easier for small employers and different industries to get together and create low-cost 401k plans. And so, by the way, if you work for a smaller company and you're saying, gee, why don't we have any Fidelity or Vanguard funds in there, or why? What are our plan fees? Why does that cost anything? Because at Fidelity and Vanguard, you can be investing for zero, absolutely zero cost. This is the time you go to the HR department and say, look, the Secure Act passed. You guys are not being good fiduciaries, good stewards of our money if we're paying all these fees. A lot of small companies didn't know about it when they set them up. But it's time to take a look at the company to take a look at the plan cost. Also, for those of you who are about retiring, you used to have to start taking required minimum distributions at the year you became 70 and a half. Well, if you become 70 and a half this year, now you won't have to start taking those RMDs until age 72. It gives your money longer to grow, and it will make it easier for you to calculate when to take them out. So there are a couple of technicalities.
So, Terry, can you break down some of the key changes in the provisions of the Secure Act?
Well, the biggest one that affects most people is this moving the required minimum distribution age up forward from 70 and a half to 72. And now there are some technicalities, like employers can now raise employee savings rates up to 15% of annual earnings, which gives you a chance to say, save more. If I don't see it, I won't spend it. They will also be offered in the future, you'll find 401k plans offering annuities as an investment option. We'll see how that develops. Those can be costly products, but the hope is that employers will have a big clout in getting lower fee annuities. The bad news, by the way, I should bring up is for most people who once you retire, and at now age 72, you'll have to start taking withdrawals from your IRA. That's because the government wants you to, from your traditional IRA or rollover IRA, the government wants its share of taxes. But if you died before your IRA was emptied out, then your heirs could traditionally, in the past, roll over that IRA and keep it growing over their lifetime. Now, the new rule is your heirs must empty out your IRA by the 10th year after your death. So it diminishes the ability to pass on wealth to your children or grandchildren, because they'd have a long lifetime to keep that money growing tax deferred in the rollover IRA after death. Now it's got to be emptied out in 10 years. So those are some of the key provisions. The entire article is up at terrysavage.com.
Did you want to touch on at all the provision for part-time workers? I know that you mentioned that in the
article. Yeah, part-time workers, there's an easier way for part-time workers now to qualify for 401k plans, but your company has to make that change. You have to work 500 hours for 3 consecutive years at the company, but again, the company makes that change in the plan rules. So these are kind of technicalities. When I talk to all of you out there, you're either in the saving up stage. My message to you is save up as much as you can. If you don't see it, you won't spend it. Take a look at FICA that's coming out of your paycheck and coming to me and a couple of my friends on the first of every month in the form of Social Security. So grow your own retirement savings as you grow it. And then as you get closer to the age of actually retiring, be a little more conservative. We've had an astounding year in the past. And, you know, it's one thing, we're cheering for a market rising about 30% in 1 year, but when markets fall, they fall 30% very quickly and may take a while to get back to even. That's a while where you're trying to withdraw and live on that money. So that's the concern, not the end of the world, but the concern is that you might have to be taking withdrawals at a time when the market's down, and then you don't get the bounce back when it eventually resumes again.
Well,
one more thing. Gee, you know what? One other point I'd like to make before we run out of time here.
Sure.
You know what's soaring today is gold. Gold has gone up to $1,525 an ounce. That is a bet. That's the counter bet against the stock market rallying. So if you're looking for something counterintuitive to do, there are gold mutual funds and gold, individual gold stocks and even gold coins. This is just a small little hedge, because when money runs for safety because they're scared about the stock market, gold, it looks like, will be the beneficiary of that for this year.
Well, words of financial wisdom always by you, Terry Savage. You can check out her articles online, terrysavage.com. In fact, I highly recommend one entitled Bored Today? Do This. I can't imagine Terry Savage ever being bored, but these are definite to-dos in the beginning of the new year. So thank you so much for being with us, Terry.
Thank you, Jean. Happy New Year. I'll see you in person one of these days.
Absolutely. I can't wait for that day. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Bye-bye.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.